our recent association, and also for Brother James and Brother Levi's trip to California, and safe travel there and back. And trust you know, Sunday is a wonderful day. Needless to say, I'm thankful that the Lord has set aside, and you know, He created everything that was made. He said it was good and very good, and He created it in 6 days, and on the seventh day He rested from His labors. And we're to honor the Sabbath. We're to observe it. We're to keep it holy. I'm thankful for the Sabbath day, a day of rest, a day of revitalization, rejuvenation as we go to the Lord's house and are built up to take on the things that we have to encounter as we go back into the world. Brother Russell mentioned our prayer this evening. There's so many things that threaten to destroy the happiness of the Lord's children, even. When we make poor decisions or we're affected by things of the world. And I thought we had a good day Sunday down at Lexi. Some visitors there that it always encourages us. I encourage you to visit churches when you have an opportunity. Our sister churches and every church of this association, East Met, West Met, Good Hope, wherever the case may be, if any church, regardless of denomination, but particularly the Primitive Baptist Church, we need to try to support them. And no, we can't be. If you're a member here, your responsibility is to be here when the doors of this church open. But pray for these other churches, these small churches. We need encouragement. We need the prayers of those we love. And you know, it's easy sometimes to come to the Lord's house and experience His goodness. You know, I found a good service at Antioch Sunday night. And good visitation. Many of you were there, and we're thankful for your presence with us and your support of Antioch Church. But you know, we I've said many times before that you know the worst thing about Sunday is Monday is always right behind it. Every time. I've never gone from Sunday to Tuesday ever. Go from Sunday to Monday, and Monday morning about 6:30, I got a phone call from Brother John Shouse. We call each other Mr. Shiles and Mr. Myers from Monday through Friday, and maybe on Saturday, but Sunday is Brother John and Brother Mickey. But he called me and said, Mr. Myers, we had a problem. I don't know exactly what's going on with our computer systems, but something's wrong. So I began to kind of mobilize our IT department, and they realized we'd been victimized by a ransomware cyber attack. Out of Russia, and they just operate. We have one company helping us with this that have a lot of expertise in this area, and they tell us this particular group that operates just to come in to gain access to your computer systems, Brother Joe, and lock them down, and then send you an email that you can respond to that tells you how much money they need to restore the things to you. You know, I've heard it misquoted before in Scripture, where people misquote Scripture and say that money is the root of all evil. That's not what the book says. The love of money is the root of all evil, which some have coveted after and erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. On the day of the resurrection, friends, you can be a miser if you want to and stack your casket full of money. But only the elect family of God are going home to glory. The rest of them, you know, he tells us in Matthew chapter 25, he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Now, I know that some of these over there that might be involved in this may be part of the elect family of God, but they're going to have to be born again of his spirit because right now they're walking contrary to thus saith the Lord. And we ask you to pray for our school district. This company told us that they had 150 cases of this across America in the month of October, last month. This company and other companies do the same thing. And South Pike School District was hit with it back in August. Our district, Carroll County School District, over this past weekend. Natchez Sheriff's Department. Just different ones at different times and you know, it creates a lot of problems in the district. Brother Russell mentioned, particularly young people, our responsibility is to guide them and to nurture them and to train them up in the way that they should go. Not necessarily that's the school's responsibility, but this is as a family, and we're thankful for our children. We want to motivate them toward excellence. But you know, I've watched a lot of things over the years. I've watched some Walker Texas Rangers, some westerns, and about the ransom. They tell us that they ask, but it's kind of based on the number of computers that you have as their asking price. And they tell us it can't be traced when the money is submitted to them. It's through Bitcoin or Madeira or something of that nature. And Brother Jamie may know more about that through the Air Force. I don't know. But our IT guys, one of them in particular, is just emotionally devastated because he said he felt like it's his responsibility. And I tried to convey to him, no, it's not. The Bible says that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. There's people lay awake at night that try to find ways to take advantage of the vulnerable and so forth. And but, you know, sometimes I remember that watching those westerns and Walker Texas Ranger, that ransom. You had to wonder, was it going to be sufficient? Was it going to be a successful transaction? You know, I thought about, you know, I've never seen a situation where a child was abducted, say, and the parents didn't want to meet the ransom. Said, well, I'll just keep them. If they got mine, I'm going to try to come up with whatever they ask. But sometimes, you know, the ransom may not be sufficient. I remember one time a crime, it was called the crime of the century in the 20th century. You know, in 1927, I think it was, a 25-year-old man by the name of Charles Lindbergh made the first transatlantic flight across the Atlantic Ocean. In 1932, I think on March the 1st, 1932, his 20-month-old son was abducted from their home. And there was a ransom note on the windowsill in the nursery that demanded $50,000 be turned over to them and had contact information. And that was on March the 1st. On March the 16th, they still hadn't had any trace of this child. They had a onesie, I guess it was, or a sleep outfit that belonged to that baby that was delivered back to the home. They found it, I think, outside the home. And they knew, you know, they understood what was going on here. On April 2nd, a month and one day after the abduction, the Charles Lindbergh and the mediator went to a cemetery somewhere with $50,000 in gold certificates, and met with this person that demanded the ransom, and they gave him a note with directions to where to find that 20-month-old baby. They went there and didn't get the baby. On May 12th of that same year, 73 days after the abduction, they found about 4 miles. Charles Lindbergh had bought a 390-acre farm out in near a secluded area near Hopewell, New Jersey. Hopewell. And they found the baby that was a crushed skull, mutilated, badly decomposed, and the story didn't end well. The ransom was insufficient. There was evilness in the transaction. But you know, those things grieve our heart. When I think about those things, how heartbroken that family must have been. You know, I've said this many times before. How many times do you hear me use James 1:17? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness and shadow turning. The things that we have that are precious to us, that have no price tag, they came to us from above. Without exception, they came to us from above. You know, in Titus chapter 2, verse 14, it says there that if I can remember exactly, who gave himself for us, Brother James, that ransom was sufficient. We were in the grips of sin. In the old Baptist church, we call it total depravity. Brother Wayne Myers used to say we had a debt that we had nothing to pay with. We could not pay, but the Lord sent His Son. He said in one place in Scripture, He said, "Thine they were, Thou gavest them me." Now, some Bible scholars say it really should be read, "Thou gavest them to me." I don't care. I'll take it either way. Whether they gave Jesus Christ to me or gave me to Jesus Christ, I'm satisfied with that. That He gave Himself for us, that He might redeem unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. I may have left something out there, but who gave Himself for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, I think verse 18, verse 19, somewhere in there it says about how we were not redeemed with a corruptible thing such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. The price for the ransom for our souls, Brother Joe, was steep. It was very steep. But it was satisfied. The one who gave Himself for us. You know, in the book of Job, it talks about deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. Ye ransomed sinners, never forget the wormwood and the gall. Go spread your trophies at His feet and crown Him Lord of all. I'm thankful tonight, dear friends, that we had someone who paid the price for us. He paid our price. He bore our burdens. I think about the transaction that was made at the cross of Calvary. When our Lord paid a debt for us, like I said, we had nothing to pay with. Read with me in Scripture, beginning in Mark chapter 10, verse 35. It says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto Him, saying, Master, we would that Thou shouldest do for us whatsoever we shall desire." That in and of itself may not be a bad thing. Lord, we want You to do our desire. Whatever we desire, Lord, we want You to do those things for us. It may be heal Brother Dick and Sister Glenda Sue's great-grandbaby. It may be heal Sister Ramona Young's baby brother. Whatever the case may be, it may be to comfort Elder David Piles tonight after he said farewell to his father in the ministry and his earthly father. I'm sure Brother David's heart is heavy today. He said, James and John, the Lord loved those two. We know He loved them. We know He loved John in particular. Peter, James, and John, they got to witness some things in Scripture that others did not get to witness. But James and John come to Him and said, "Master, we would that Thou would do whatsoever we desire." And He said unto them, "What would ye that I should do for you?" They said unto Him, "Grant unto us that we may sit one on Thy right hand and the other on Thy left hand in Thy glory." But Jesus said unto them, "Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" And they said unto Him, "We can." And Jesus said unto them, "Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. But to sit on My right hand and on My left hand is not Mine to give, but it shall be given to them for whom it is prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. They were requesting a lofty position. And the Lord asked them, can you drink of the cup that I will drink of? Can you be baptized with a baptism that I will experience? You know, while they were wanting to be on His left side and His right side, the Bible says that when the Lord went to the cross of Calvary, He was suspended between earth, upon the earth, above the earth, with between a thief and a robber. In the Garden of Gethsemane, He prayed, "Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not My will, but Thine be done, O Lord." That's when His sweat fell to the ground, as it were, great drops of blood. Yeah, He gave Himself for us. He redeemed unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He paid a ransom for us, as we continue reading here in Mark chapter 10. So when the ten heard it, they began to be much displeased with James and John. The Bible says we're to prefer our brethren ahead of ourselves. We're to prefer one another in love. But James and John, you know, I think their mother asked for this one time, didn't she? That Lord, when you enter your kingdom, that one of my sons can be on your right side and one on your left. I often wonder about that. You know, when we get to heaven, it's going to be a heavily populated place. John up man on the Isle of Patmos said he looked and he saw a host that no man could number. We know there's like the sands of the seashore for multitude. There's a great number that will be in heaven. And I wonder how many, you know, well, we get to spend time right there at the throne. I know we're going to be satisfied. It's not going to be like, Brother Joe, move out of the way. Let me get over there and hug our Creator for just a moment. Let me bow down at the throne and beat his feet a little while. It's my turn. You know, you ever see the children doing that sometimes? Get off and let me ride. It's my turn. I remember Sister Polly had a little motorcycle one time, and over there, Aunt Doris made sure we counted the laps we could make around the house. And you had to, when your time was up, maybe three laps, you had to give it to the next guest over there at the Hard Shell Hilton. But the ten heard it. They began to be much displeased with James and John. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, we know that they which are counted to rule over the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it not be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister. And whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. You remember in Scripture where it says that our Lord thought it not robbery to be equal with God? But he took upon himself the form of a servant. And being made in the likeness of men, he humbled himself and then became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. The one who came, you know, Paul said one time that he felt like he was the least of the apostles. He felt like he was the chiefest of sinners. He called himself on one occasion. That's a good attitude to have. We need to be humble. The Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, as James told us, and you'll be lifted up. Friends, I have a desire to be lifted up above the cares and trials of this life in which we live. And I love how Mark chapter 10, verse 45 reads, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. To give his life a ransom for many. What many is that? You know, there's one place in Scripture. It seems like to me many should be all. I'm not saying they're in Scripture, not at all. I'm not implying that. But it says, you know, in one place in Scripture, I can't even remember exactly what it is right now, but it says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. And by the obedience of one man, many were made righteous. I believe that many that were made righteous, and get the one who gave himself a ransom for many, I believe that's an equivalent number. I believe that's the same number, dear friends. And it's a number that no man can number. I think I mentioned at Antioch Sunday night that my daddy said when he was a little boy, he had an uncle that told him there's only going to be 144,000 people in heaven. And my daddy, of course, was very disturbed about that comment. And he said he went to his mama. My mamma Velma, and told her what his uncle had told him, and she said, son, I got a better story for you than that. John looked, and he saw a host that no man could number. It's comforting, regardless of your age. It's comforting to understand and know that while we were in bondage to sin, you know, ransom involves somebody or something taking possession of something that does not belong to them. With Charles Lindbergh's family, the ransom was insufficient. It may be insufficient with the Lincoln County School District. But friends, his grace was sufficient. That one who gave himself for us. He gave himself. He said, you know, man, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down for the sheep. He went willingly to Golgotha. Yes, he, that fleshly side of him, you know, he was 100% man and 100% God. And that fleshly side of him said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. He knew there wasn't going to be another way. There was not another way. But he don't need only drink of the cup. That he asked James and John, can you drink of that cup? Can you go through the baptism that I will go through? Oh, yeah, Lord, we can. But no, you can't, friends. But he gave himself, the Bible says he gave himself as a ransom for many. What a blessing that is to know this evening. I don't remember much about this movie. I know they said it was a good war picture back about 20 years ago. A movie called Saving Private Ryan. I heard on some of the reviews there was a lot of profanity in the movie. I've only seen just scenes of it. But I remember an article in the paper that talked about that was back in World War II, related to D-Day and the Normandy invasion. There was some people in the Clarion Ledger article that were World War II veterans that said they didn't hear a lot of profanity. And one man I still remembered, I wish I'd have kept that article in the paper. He said, you know, when you know that you may just be an instant from death, from a great sacrifice, made at the altar of freedom. He said, the last thing you want is for something, a corrupt communication to come from your mouth. He said, I didn't hear much profanity when I was on the battlefield. He said, I heard more comments about, Lord, save us. Lord, bless us. I think about that sometime. Where will we be when we draw our last breath? Where will we be when the Lord returns to get what He paid for, that He gave Himself for, that He redeemed unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works? Where will we be? I trust it to be a place that's God-honoring, a place that I wouldn't be embarrassed or ashamed that the Lord would come back and find me there. I trust He's doing something in his service. That's what He said here. He told James and John. He said, the one that's the chiefest among you, let him be your servant. The one that's greatest of all, let him be your minister. I told you a while ago, the Lord said, the Bible says about the Lord that He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He took Himself upon Himself the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. You know that Saving Private Ryan it had a good theme. It had a good message in the story. It's based loosely on a family from New York. I think their last name was Niland, N-I-L-A-N-D. Had four sons that went off to World War II. They thought three of them were killed. Two of them were. They actually found out later one was in a prisoner of war in Burma. I think it was. So the message was kind of like the Bixby letter that Abraham Lincoln wrote back in the Civil War to a woman that they thought had lost five sons. Found out that some had just deserted the army, and there were some other extenuating circumstances. But nevertheless, they thought this woman had lost three sons, and there was a mission for seven men, I think seven soldiers, to go and find this private. Private James Ryan, and bring him back, and they were going to send him back home to avoid the risk of this woman losing all four of her sons in World War II combat. Some of it was based on true stories. Some of it, they got to put Hollywood into it to make it a little more exciting and a little more appealing and bring it a little more money at the box office and so forth. But Tom Hanks is playing Captain John C. Miller, I think was his name. And he went there and he died in saving Private Ryan to bring him back so he would be able to be sent back to his mother and to his family so she would not lose all her sons in combat. And they had his dying words there in the movie. Said, James, earn this. Earn it. And then there was a scene in the movies where Private Ryan was at the grave of this Captain John C. Miller, and his wife was with him, and he asked her, said, honey, am I a good man? She said, "Yeah, honey, you're a good man." She said, am I worthy of this?" He had told him, said, "James, earn this, earn it." What did he mean by that? In other words, I think he meant go home and live your life in such a way that you would be thankful for the sacrifice that I'm making to save you in combat. Aren't you thankful this evening to know that the one that paid the ransom for us, we don't have to earn it? I praise God that we don't have to earn it. When they say work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, they're not talking about your eternal salvation. They're talking about what Brother Russell talked about in his prayer this evening. Those things, that those pitfalls out there. Lord, deliver me. Deliver me from the pit. For I have found a ransom. For the Lindberghs, the ransom was insufficient. It was a ransom of sort. This Private Ryan was gripped in combat, in battle, and the very real threat of losing his life, defending the freedoms of this great country. And the one that saved him, the one that kind of paid a ransom for him, so to speak, and gave up his life in a substitutionary way, for a sacrificial way for this other soldier, told him to earn this, earn it. But what I want to point out to you this evening, friends, we ought to live our lives like we're trying to earn it. We ought to live our lives like we're trying to earn it. But just as he asked his wife at that tomb, "Am I a good man? Am I worthy?" If I ask you this evening, "Am I a good man?" I hope you'll tell me, Brother Mickey, "No, you're not good. The best you have is filthy rags in the sight of a holy God." Am I worthy? Tell me no. If I ask you if I'm worthy, I'm not worthy of the least of His blessings. But He's worthy of riches and praise and glory and honor and blessings. He gave Himself. He gave Himself a ransom for many. And I can tell you this. That ransom was satisfied. Our Father, we mention that quite often. In John chapter 3, verse 16, everybody knows this. For me, with that verse, and sometimes it's very much misapplied. "For God so loved the world." I remember Brother James Isaacs preaching about the world right here one time. I wish I had it on tape. I'd love to go back and hear that again. Because he mentions the world quite often. He said, in one case, he said, "I pray not for the world, but for those that have thou has given me out of the world." So there'd be some different worlds in consideration in Scripture. He said, "But for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How can we believe in Him? Because He's born us of His Spirit. And He's paid a ransom for us that was satisfactory to God above. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. We were engulfed with sin. We still are engulfed with sin. But there's coming a day when the Lord will remember our sins no more. Who the Lord foreknew, He also did predestinate. Those He predestinated, He also called. Those He called, He also justified. Those He justified, He also glorified. I love the past tense aspect of that. It's like it's already been done. I've been preaching recently about some things that were prophesied 600 to 700 years before they happened that were expressed in such a way as like it already happened. I love that. And I love talking about this, something that's already happened that technically, I guess it hasn't happened yet. But in the mind and purpose of God, the one who paid the ransom for us, the one who gave Himself for us and redeemed unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. What a friend we have. Let's continue to, like Private Ryan, they told Private Ryan to earn this, earn it. Try to have that mindset as we go through life, like the way we conduct ourselves each day. Our eternal salvation is dependent upon that. Live that way. You know it doesn't, but I've heard people say, I've heard a lot of elders say this, Brother James, that I believe like old Baptist, I would just go out and have my fill of sin. No, you wouldn't. We may have to take some taxpayer dollars, Brother Doug, and pay a ransom to get some things restored to enhance what we offer to our children in our district. I don't know. It is going to be a sad day. If we pay it, and then when it's not restored, it's going to be even a sadder day. I don't know about one of our board members, but I'm going to go ahead and step down. No, we'll fight through it. We'll press on. But I'm just thankful for what the Lord has done for us. Let's understand that He paid a ransom for many. And because He paid that ransom, He will take possession of our joy. As we're singing that song, I don't care to stay here long. He took full possession of our joy. He's going to get us because He paid the ransom for us. And one day we'll be reunited with Him, our precious Redeemer. And what a day that will be when we look upon His face in glory and are satisfied. May the Lord bless you is our prayer this evening.